If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with us to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 6th verse. 1 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse number 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul was warning us through these scriptures. And church, this evening, we must be aware of the things that want to creep in to destroy the body of Christ. There is a real enemy out there this evening that would want to destroy and divide the church of God. In our world today, good wants to be destroyed. It wants to have its way in our schools. It wants to have its way in our court systems. And evil wants to have its way in our government. But you name it, sin wants to have its own way. Now we know this evening that leaven is classified as a type of sin. A sin that wants to puff up man's thinking and reasoning where there is such a spirit that occurs that man doesn't even think he needs God. Well, I'm here to tell you this evening, you need God. I need God. We need God in all facets of our life. We just can't say, well, I want God today and I don't want God tomorrow. You need God each and every day in which you live. And in order for the church to go forward, sin has to be removed. It needs to be taken out. It needs to be discarded. You are not going to prosper with sin in your life. You're not going to move up the spiritual ladder with sin in your life. You're not going to move up the spiritual ladder with bitterness in your life. It's not going to happen, folks. That's just the way it is. Now, we know nominal religion will have you paint a picture out here that is just as long as you're a good person and you do the things that everybody wants you to do, you'll be okay. But that's not what the Word of God says. It says ye must be born again. And that will never, ever change. Now, man thinks that he can sugarcoat it and turn it around a little bit, but that's in the Word of God. You know why so many people are getting so confused today? They don't get their nose in the Word of God. It's so plain and simple. But that's why they don't want to get in it. It's plain and simple because it'll expose them for what they really are. Amen. The reason there is a barrier this evening to total surrender is pride. Now, you might not agree with that, but it's true. We don't want to admit that we're just creatures and not in charge of everything. It's the oldest temptation known to man. Pride. And it's found back in the Old Testament, back in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent said to the woman in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, beginning verses 4 and 5, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Giving Eve the sense of pride in her life that she thought she knew more than God. Right. Now listen, friend, you're in dangerous ground when you think you know more than the pastor. You are not the pastor. God has put us in, has in charge with a pastor. Don't get yourself puffed up thinking, well, if I was pastor, I'd do it my way. Well, I'm glad you're not the pastor. But there is a spirit out here in our world today that if we don't guard it, It's going to be a spirit of wanting complete control of our situations and circumstances. Amen. But a lot of times, it's not the struggle with ourselves that's the problem. We're really struggling with the Lord. Let's face it, the Lord wants His way in our life. Amen. Someone once quoted these words, "We accept our humanity intellectually, but not emotionally. When faced with our own limitations, we react how? With irritation, anger, and resentment. We want to be taller or shorter." Amen. "We want to be smarter. We want to be stronger. We want to be more talented. We want to be more beautiful or handsome and wealthier. We want to have it all, don't we? But we're just what God has made us. And we're just what God has allowed in our life. Be happy. Be happy. Be contented." You know, you have more, in some instances, more people in our lives, what we have to control, than some people have in the whole world. We're blessed. If you have food this afternoon to eat, you're blessed. If you have shelter over your head at night, you're blessed. Come on now. Don't complain. God could take it away. Don't complain about it. Be thankful. Amen. We want to have it all, but sometimes we become upset if it doesn't happen. Then we notice that God gave others characteristics that we don't have. So we respond with what? Envy, jealousy, and the old one, self-pity. Well, I didn't get that new car. Well, maybe the Lord didn't want you to have a new car. You could get puffed up in your own pride. Come on now, I'm trying to help you. Don't look at me bug-eyed. Amen. But what causes, we're going to look a little bit at that leaven. What causes that lump to rise when placed in the dough? Amen. Literally, what happens to that as it's placed in the dough? When yeast is placed in a mass or lump, one-celled yeast plants feed on the organic matter, reproducing themselves by budding. Starts to bud. And as more and more yeast cells are being produced, they spread further and further throughout the dough. And that causes the fermentation of the sugars, which produces carbon dioxide gas. Am I right on that, Brother Orr? Here's my scientist back here. Carbon dioxide gas is being released and causes the dough to what? To rise. And the fermentation or the corruption spreads completely through the mass. Now, we didn't think about that when you want to make homemade bread, now do you? Now, when I pencil that last sentence, the fermentation and the corruption spreads completely through the mass, my mind went instantly to what sin does to the life of a man or a woman. It wants to take it over completely. Sin wants to spread its deadly tentacles quickly and deadly. Young people, listen to me. Stay close to God. There is sin out here that wants to destroy your life. And you are so blessed to be in a true Church of God congregation. Listen to godly counsel. Listen to ones who are spiritually uplifted in your life. Listen to ones that are pillars in the church. They're here to help you, to help guide you. Don't ever think, well, that's their own opinion. There's a devil out here that wants to grab you and destroy you. But I say, saints of God, this evening, please be aware that the devil wants to draw us away. We have truth. And the devil doesn't want us to have truth. He's not going to get you to go out here and visit the bar rooms, the dance halls, and all these corrupt places, but he can get in and start to divide with a little bit of root of bitterness, a cross word, a bad attitude. It's the little things, those little buds that can cause division in a congregation. I don't want that, do you? We're the family of God. We don't need to have divisions. And in order for us to be close to God, that's why we need to be in the house of God. Amen. We need to be with the people of God, to hear the preaching of the word of God. Amen. And there's a spirit out in this world that tries to impress upon our minds that attending services is not important. Nay, nay. It is important to attend the services. There's no option A, B, or C. You need to be here at all possible. We need to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, especially in the day in which we're living. And we know the world's agenda is full. The world's agenda is enticing. It's alluring. But I say we have found the true rock this evening. Amen. We have found that true rock to build our life upon. And you don't have to search for it very long until you can find that rock. That rock is Christ Jesus. Amen. We need to let people know. Let me get back to this, being out of the services. If you are going to be out of the services, you need to let the pastor know. Or you need to let some brother know that you're not going to be here, so they can get the word to the pastor, such and such is not here. Is there anything wrong with that? If you're not going to show up for work, you need to call the boss or someone in charge to let the boss know you're not going to be there. Out in the world, it's called out of respect. Well, we have a pastor that desires our respect too, right? Our respect. You know, a lot of times, that's out the window anymore. You see it in our schools, you see it in our laws, you see it everywhere you go. Lack of respect. And true Church of God people should have the best respect there is to our pastor. People say, well, why wasn't in services? Well, why not? I've got my reasons. Well, are your reasons going to stand at the days of judgment? There's the key right there. You see, that could be some of the leaven that wants to pump you up thinking that what you're going to do is more important than being in the house of God. Amen. I'm thankful this evening that in the real fellowship with the people of God, we want to share our fellowship with one another. I enjoy fellowship, don't you? Fellowship is critical to the saints of God in the Church of God. Brother Decker once in a while has us meet these people from here, over here, over there, to try to have develop some fellow. Brother Stagmar calls it fellowship. But it's fellowship. Getting to know each other. But someone said authentic fellowship is not superficial, surface level chit chat. It's genuine heart to heart. It happens when people get honest. There's the key. Get honest about who they are and what is happening in their lives. And they share their hurts. They reveal their feelings. They confess their failures. Do you have failures? I have failures. We're not always going to be successful. We're going to have failures in our life. Amen. They'll disclose their doubts, admit their fears, acknowledge their weaknesses, and ask for help and prayer. That's what fellowship is. But you know, a reason a lot of people struggle is because they aren't up front with God. If people aren't going to be up front with God, you know they aren't going to be up front with their brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly," how? "Joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." In order to be joined together the way Christ wants us to be joined is to have the mind of Christ. Now, when you have the mind of Christ, you won't want to see someone hurt, or you would not want to see any envy rise up. Why? They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. You'll be happy for them if they get something new. You'll be happy if they get a new home or another home. But today, too many people are so filled with pride and jealousy, they can't even see that own need in their own life. Church of God, do not let pride consume us. It can destroy. Sin, if it's not checked or dealt with, wants to spread out into other areas. And when a dear man of God stands behind the sacred desk and pours his heart out week after week, message after message, to try to warn the people about the dress standard, modesty, and everything else that goes with it, they buck up. Do you know he's doing that for your protection? Not too many other places I ever hear somebody say, "Well, what did your preacher preach on today?" The dress standard. You don't hear that other than the Church of God. You go by some of these churches, it's just come as you are. Roll out of bed and hit the door. It's terrible. People act like going to church is like going down to your family Walmart. Take a little pride in yourself. Get up, get cleaned up, and come to the house of God. And be here on time. There's also something called spiritual punctuality. You want to be here on time. But you know, the world out here and the spirit that we have would just like to bud out, just like every of those yeast plants that bud out in the dough. A bud of worldliness. Come on now. A bud of self-centeredness, a bud of pride, a bud of jealousy, and on it goes. It doesn't stop with one or two buds in that yeast. Church, tonight, let's be on our toes this evening. I love the Church of God. This is the only church I know of. Thank God I wasn't raised in Babylon. My mom and dad were true Church of God, and they did their best to be in the house of God whenever. Even if we had to drive 2.5-3 hours to be here, we drove to Newark. It's hard to get people who live 10 minutes away to be here. Come on now, I'm not up here to belittle you, but I'm just doing, and I've said it before, where is the sacrifice today? Where is the sacrifice? Where is the commitment? That's the key, the commitment. I say the Church of God is not just a church among churches. Amen. It was bought with a price. The ultimate price. It wasn't founded on earthly principles. Its headquarters is not in Cleveland, Tennessee, or Anderson, Indiana. Thank God it's located where the head is. In heaven. And the Church of God is the only one that I could put my faith and confidence in this evening. And I want you to know, saints of God, don't you ever dare take this truth for granted. Don't you ever get to the point where you think, well, it's always going to be here. How do you know that? We need to thank God each and every time we hear a message that's preached along different way or different ways or coming across the pulpit. That strengthens us to fortify us in the things of truth. You ought to say, thank the Lord. We need to be at our post of duty. Let us take the initiative. Let's not get too busy with our own schedules that we miss out the true meaning of how or why the Lord died for us. Let's have a fresh and up-to-date relationship with Jesus Christ this evening. Do you know that busyness is a great enemy of relationships? You know, we can get just too busy. Amen. We become preoccupied with making a living, doing our work, paying our bills, buying our groceries, and accomplishing goals as if these tasks are the point of life. Amen. They are not the point of life. These are just subtitles of life. The true meaning of life is if you have Jesus Christ living in your heart. Amen. The point of life is learning to love God and people. Life minus love equals zero. Think about that. A lot of people today think that leaven is leftovers. Do you like leftovers? I hear some no's. But leaven is not leftover. It's not a doggy bag. It's not like food after a fine meal. It's uncooked leftovers. It's leftover dough is to kickstart the next batch of dough. It goes back to Exodus, the 12th chapter, and this Passover, the great redemption event of the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 16:3, where it says, thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it, 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, therewith even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, how? In haste. And that's exactly what God wants you to do if you're in sin. He wants you to get out of sin quickly. He doesn't want you to dilly-dally in sinful ways. Get out of sin now. And when you get out of sin, stay out of sin. For it says, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou comest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. It's a testimony. The leaven is when you came out of sin. Thank God I'm out of sin. And God wants you to leave the bondage of sin in haste. Leaven then becomes a symbol of that time when we were in bondage. We were all in bondage at one time. You that are saved, you were in bondage. You thought you knew how to get out, but you couldn't get out. Why? You didn't have God in your life. You need God to help you get out of bondage and stay out. Amen. As Christians, we put to death the flesh. It's a daily battle to keep this flesh down. We put off the old man, and thank God we put on the new. And we strive to be what God has declared us to be. What has God declared us to be? Holy. There's the key, holy. Well, our church is just like your church. Uh-uh. Holiness in the true church of God. When you're in the true church of God, you're going to see holy people, living holy, dressing holy, talking holy, You're not going to be cussing one day and going to church the next. You're going to be living, talking, doing all these things with holiness in your mind and heart. Why? Who put it there? God. And it's our job to keep it there with the help of the Lord. Amen. He wants us to be holy, blameless, unleavened. We know that in Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 12, a little background here, the Pharisees were concerned the appearance of righteousness, just the appearance of it. But it's more than just the appearance. You got to have it down in the heart. But the Pharisees forgot all about becoming righteous. All pretty and diligent on the outside, but full of rotting corpse in the inside. But I was thinking this afternoon, a very familiar scripture that I think all of us could say amen to, found in Romans, the 6th chapter, and the 17th, 18th verses. But God be thanked. Amen. But God be thanked that ye were. What is were? That's a past tense verb. It doesn't say that you are. That you were the servants of sin. But, Brother Decker says, and he's right, that is a conjunction. But ye have what? Obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered you, being thee made what? Free. 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 Are you free this evening? Amen. Well, say amen if you're free. Amen. Thank God we don't have to be in that bondage anymore. We're free from sin. And not only becoming free from sin, we have become the servants of righteousness. Amen. Think of that. What a change. You go from the guttermost to the uttermost, as Brother Fred says. But you know what? Leaven doesn't like to stop. Leaven also pictures disobedience. Amen. Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 7th through the 10th verse. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveth the whole lump. And I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth, ye shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. Question is, are you leavened? Are you living a life free from sin? Serving God in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth this evening? Or are you still living a sinful, hypocritical life? Well, God doesn't expect anything else in our life, especially the ones who have been around truth all their life. Can you imagine how much, excuse me, can you imagine how many messages we've heard being preached to us over the years and people still haven't moved? Isn't that something? What are you going to tell God at the day of judgment? I didn't know anything about truth. Now, you can't use that as an excuse. People who've been around truth all their life. My question is, do you want to live a life free from sin? It can be possible. People say, well, you just can't live above sin. I beg to differ with you. Who was our example? Christ. Christ was just as human as we are. And if he can live a life, he was our example. Amen. Remember, we can't do it in our own strength. It takes the power of Jesus Christ living in our heart and soul that helps us to ward off sin. And it does take work. You can't be on a roller coaster and going down the hill. You're going to have to do some pedaling on your own. Am I right? Amen. Amen. you're going to have to give our life for something. We're all living a life. We're all giving it something. What will it be? A career? Will it be a sport? Will it be a hobby? Will it be fame, wealth? That you know, those things I just mentioned, none of those have lasting significance. Service is the pathway to real significance. It's through ministry that we discover the meaning of our lives. Amen? And as we serve together in God's family, our lives take an eternal importance. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 14 and 19, for the body is not one member, but many. And the 19th verse says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? God wants you and me to make a difference in this world. He wants to work through us. What matters is not the duration of your life, but the donation of it. Not how long you lived, but how you lived. Amen. I agree with that statement. If you're not involved in any service or work of God, what excuse are you giving? Whew, just want to get quiet now. Now, Abraham was old. Did that stop Abraham? Jacob was insecure. Joseph was abused. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. David had an affair and all kinds of family problems. Jonah was reluctant. Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Martha worried a lot. We know Martha did, didn't we? The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular. Thomas had his doubts. And Timothy was timid. That's quite a list, isn't it? That's quite a list, right? But God used each in his service. Take them and just put them in a thing and shake them up. Spill them out. This is what I want you to use for my service. And God can use you. Well, I'm just a nobody. Who told you that? Who told you that you were a nobody? I know God didn't tell you were a nobody. You're somebody in the eyes of God. And you could be used of God. His service. I say stop making excuses. Too many people today want to use an excuse. Don't use an excuse. I say this evening it's truth. I'm thankful that truth makes us free. But beware of those things that want to occupy or take up those places in our heart. As we mentioned in the beginning, a lot of things in a person's heart stems from that little bud called pride. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The Bible mentions a lot of things about pride, doesn't it? Proverbs 21:4, a high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. I say this evening, God is concerned about ones with pride in their hearts. If he wasn't so concerned, he wouldn't have mentioned it as many times as he did in the Word of God. But there is a secretness to pride. A lot of times it doesn't radiate to the outward man, but it lies in the chambers of men and women's hearts. How does the message find you this evening? I know it was probably chopped up here and there, but I was concerned about the leaven. the leaven. Don't see too much until you see the end results. Pride can bring you down very quickly. And look how God brought down King Nebuchadnezzar. His son, King Belshazzar, what about him? What about Hezekiah? You see, God can bring down the most mighty men. Who were they who tried to fool God? Listen, friend, you can't fool God. Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What are you sowing this evening? We must be careful how our life is being lived today. As Brother Decker said, people are watching. Oh, where do you go to church? God's Acres. Oh. I'm sure they've heard that from other people's mouths, but they don't see those people's lives like they should see ours. Come on now. We should be that light to a world. We should be that light to the community. Are you that light? Amen. Or has your light or your candle been snuffed out by Satan? Saints of God, we don't want to be in our lives, it's at this point of our life, we don't want to be taken away for what Satan has in his program. This is a time to get on our high horse and start living for God the way we should live. Amen. I'm thankful this evening. Again, I'm thankful for the church of God. I'm thankful for the truth. I thank the Lord for my dear pastor, not just because he's sitting behind me. I appreciate him. You know why I know truth is here? The devil's working like never before. The devil wouldn't be fighting if we didn't have truth. He just let us go. But I see how the devil is trying to deceive, to divide, to get a little bud here and there in people's lives, to try to get us off this track. It's not a time to get off track. It's time to stay on the track and stay in the lane that God has given us to stay in. And quit looking to the left or right and go forward with God. We got a camp meeting coming up in 2 weeks. There's going to be a lot of new people here. Let's be the church of God. Let's be the host congregation. Let's receive them with warmth. Welcome them here. Go up and speak to them. A lot of times before, I've told you this facility here, this building, when people walk in here for the first time, it's immense. People look around, wow, look at this place. Well, go up and talk to them. A little word of encouragement, they might want to come back. Wouldn't that be terrible? They might want to come back. But go up and talk to them. I'm sure they would like that. I leave the message with you. If you have a need, as we sing a song of invitation, won't you come?